Well, we're just a couple of days from the big V8 race in Australia that we have at Bathurst. And you can hear the cries of Ford lovers from all around the country who are just hearing that their last Ford vehicle has come off the production line in Broadmeadows in Victoria. The last Falcon came off the line at Broadmeadows today, and it's a sad day for many Falcon enthusiasts. Clint Sharp is president of the Falcon GT Owners Club, and it's a sad day for him as well.
We had a bit of a discussion about it last night, and I sort of pulled some figures out of the local paper and the Age and that, and we discussed, you know, what exactly it means, the plant closing down and the people losing their jobs, and yeah, it's all pretty sad, I reckon.
Yeah, and there's still a very big following for Fords and for Falcons. Bathurst is coming up this weekend. Is yep. it going to be sort of a last hurrah this weekend, do you think?
It feels that way, for a lot of reasons. And I don't think the way Ford have handled it have been very good. Like, they haven't... There's no closing of the Ford factory. They haven't invited us over there for any, you know, and we've supported them a lot along the way, you know, and it's just say goodbye to all the workers. All the senior staff are keeping their jobs. They've offered them jobs over in Thailand, I've heard. But most of the workers that, you know, have put in, you know, a good day's work and that, they're all going. So I see it pretty sad and I don't think the way they've handled it's been very good. And I don't think the way the government's handled it's been very good.
And many of the workers at the plant have got nowhere else to go because none of the major manufacturers will be manufacturing cars in the next year or so. I spoke to Senator Kim Carr, ALP Shadow Minister for Innovation.
I'm hopeful that we'll learn from the British experience, which after Margaret Thatcher and the devastation that she wrought upon the British economy, there was a recognition both across the political parties that Britain needed an automotive manufacturing industry. And now Britain is the largest exporter of automotive parts and cars in Europe. So I'm hopeful that we can follow that experience. And to do that, you need a change in government policy. You need to actually recognise that there will be an automotive industry in this country after the closures. There will need to be new investment, and we need to have a government that's actually committed to ensuring that manufacturing is able to prosper in Australia.
Because there needs to be some sort of leadership, doesn't there? It's companies that have been clustered around these large manufacturers are probably not all that well equipped to suddenly move across to exporting for a large amount of their business.
Well, a lot of the companies were tied into one particular manufacturer, haven't had the capacity to expand. Now, we will still see a significant number of automotive firms in this country continuing to export. That doesn't change the fact that in Broadmeadows, where there are one in five people are unemployed, and for young people, it's probably two out of five people are unemployed, that you're facing severe economic hardship. The economy in the north of Melbourne is already depressed. And for a lot of people that are being laid off today, there will not be an opportunity to find other work. We know from the experience from other big closures that only a third of people laid off end up getting a job of equivalent standing. Two-thirds don't. One-third of those are going to be people that don't get any work at all. One-third will be people that have to accept part-time work at much, much lower rates of pay. Now, we're not talking about a king's ransom here because the average wage in the automotive industry is about $60,000 a year. So these people are not overpaid. They're skilled, but their skills are not automatically transferable to other industries, if those industries exist at all.
And so what sort of transition arrangements would you expect if you were being laid off today? What would you
well,
be your first?
Well, there is obviously assistance. The company, Ford, has put efforts into that. There have been training programs provided by the state government. The Commonwealth government, on the other hand, has been rather tardy. They've actually cut back the amount of money that was available for the New Markets Program under the Labor Party. They've cut that in half. Look, the real problem here is you can be trained and retrained and retrained again, but if the jobs are not there, then it leads to despair. And what concerns me that what we know about previous occasions where there's been big manufacturing stand-downs, we've had the mining industry to pick up people and different types of parts of the economy moving forward, blue-collar sections of the economy moving forward. That's not the case at the moment.
Yeah, because one of the industries that the government keeps talking about is services and education and so forth, and they're sort of miles apart from manufacturing workers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not something you could just slip into.
No, but often you have to acknowledge that the pay rates are different, but also the service levels are different. The skills required are different. Now, it's clear that people come off the line aren't necessarily going to end up as doctors. But they will, according to the experts on this area, be happy to tell you, well, they can push a trolley around. Now, that's not necessarily going to satisfy the expectations that workers have in the automotive industry. There ought to be more attention paid to attracting investment in manufacturing jobs. And we should be doing more as a country to ensure that we are more like Germany and encouraging the investment in those high-wage, high-skilled jobs that has sustained prosperity in Europe. And we're having similar arguments in the United States. The American government wouldn't behave in the way that we're seeing this government in Australia behaving.
And what about design skills? I mean, engineering design is something that we seem to have had a bit of expertise with in Australia. I mean, we are credited with coming up with the Ute.
Yes.
For the world, and I think that was a Ford Ute.
Yes.
So, you know, do you think we'd see a bit of a design brain drain or design engineering drain from Australia following these closures?
Well, the major companies are maintaining their design capabilities in Australia, and Ford will probably be the largest employer in the automotive industry. They'll have a better part of 1,500 people directly and indirectly employed in design and engineering for their world products. So there's no question about our capabilities. What I'm concerned about, though, is that the number of people who will lose their jobs won't be able to be absorbed. Those jobs are already full. They're already taken up. And while we have highly skilled engineers, not everyone are able to fit into that category. That's not the solution in itself. It's important, but it's not the solution in itself. We need to ensure there's more investment in new manufacturing and to ensure that companies like Robert Bosch, which developed new programs under the new car plan, where, for instance, they've developed a new rear vision braking systems. Government invested $500,000 in that project, and now as a result of that, Bosch are able to have an international market for avoiding accidents in driveways. There are many other companies like that. Backwell were able to develop and roll out new photovoltaic solar mounting systems. So there is no doubt in my mind that Australia has the capacity to develop new manufacturing products and new manufacturing industries. And it's only a question of whether or not the government of Australia is prepared to back that talent, help build those international markets, and provide that employment in those types of areas. You see, there is this attitude in Canberra that you really have to really look after some sections of the population. You wouldn't see the farming community treated like this, but manufacturing workers, they seem to be able to throw it on the scrap heap, and no one thinks that they're politically important. Now, that's just not the right attitude to take if we want a balanced economy, an economy in which all our citizens can enjoy the prosperity that this nation undoubtedly has to offer. I'm committed to encourage buying Australian, building in Australia new products to sell to the world. I want to be able to see a country that is prosperous, that allows all our people to enjoy that prosperity, but particularly to ensure that blue-collar workers are not left behind in the new economy that people so fondly talk about without regard to the social costs of what's happening in terms of the way in which our manufacturing industries are being treated.
All right. Look, I really appreciate the time, Senator Carr. Thanks very much for being on The Money.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, Senator Kim Carr, Shadow Minister for Innovation, Industry, Science and Research there. And we're finding out what the impact was for this final change to the manufacturing industry of cars in this country.